Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, for God has given us another day. He has given us, as we like to call them moving forward, a do-over. God has given you a do-over, and all I can say is thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Thank you, Lord, for a new day that you have made. And it is a beautiful day. I can see the sun coming in through my bedroom window as it comes up. And I can only say thank you, Lord. But what God gave me this morning for our title is it's time to go to work. Y'all know you hear me say it on a regular basis because I actually have to go to work. But today it is a time to go to work. Today is New Testament Sunday with our Psalm and Proverb words. And Jesus is talking about the harvest and that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We got to go to work. There's a harvest of many out seeking and wanting Jesus in their life. Some don't even know who Jesus is. He's a fictional character in a book. But we know he's our Savior. And as many of us go to church today to wave our palms in the air because it is Palm Sunday, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, we all know that his time is coming. And that next Sunday, we will be celebrating his resurrection, that he has risen, that he's no longer dead. And that he took our horrible sins to the cross. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. And we're ready. We are ready to go to work. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the awesome and marvelous name of Jesus. Thanking you, Lord, for your grace. Thanking you, Lord, for your mercy. Thanking you, Lord, for salvation. Thanking you, Lord, for your son. Thanking you, Lord, that he took our awful sins to the cross, that he took them to the grave and rose again and sits on your right hand, interceding every moment, every hour, every second for us, every day. He's interceding. And, Lord, all we can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us, oh God, that you've given us another day. You've given us a do-over. Father, I pray that today is better than yesterday and that those who are seeking a better tomorrow will live to see it. Father God, we just say thank you. And Lord, as I move forward in this word this morning, I ask you, Lord God, to please increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting that all things are working for my good, because I put my trust in you. And it's again in the name of the Master Savior, I lift up this word. But Lord God, you are my strength and redeemer. And I cannot do this without you. I give myself away, Lord God. May you to use me today and always. Again, in the name of the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we lift up this word today. And we are going to do our Old Testament word first, which is our psalm and our proverb. And after our psalm and our proverb, we will go to our New Testament work, which will be the completion of Luke and going into chapter of Luke. So let's join me in Psalm chapter 43, the 43rd Psalm. And in the 43rd Psalm, we will be reading verses 1 3 will be also in the 44th Psalm, excuse me, verses 1 through 4 through 19. Let me make sure I might, no, we'll be finishing up in the 44th Psalm. So let's get thank you, God, as I'm going through my word to make sure I got us in the right spot. And I still cannot believe we are just tooling right along in the month of April. Today is April the 10th. Wow. And so I do have a correction. We will be in the 42nd Psalm, verses 6 through 11, because we started the second book. It's the 42nd Psalm to the 72nd Psalm. It's book 2 of Psalms. So let's get started in Psalm 40, the 42nd Psalm, verses 6 through 11. There we go. Now I'm back on track. But we're going to start at verse 5, actually. And it says this, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. I love that word. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? That was my scripture for a minute. Going through. Oh, but God. And it says, my bones suffer mortal agony. My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. We all go through. And all we can say is and have in our spirit, but God. But God will bring you through. But God will make a way out of no way. But God. Whew. Can make that crooked road straight. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. Psalm 43rd Psalm. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. We know all of us have folks that we have met and that have been in our lives that have been deceitful and wicked. And all you can do, don't try to get even. Go put it in the grapevine that they are low down, dirty dogs. No, you give them to God and keep on moving. Your hands are clean. You ain't got to mess with that. Just keep it going. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? I'm sure David was feeling that way, being chased around again by Saul. who didn't want to give up the kingship. And he says, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful gift. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Woo! Can y'all say hallelujah with me? Say a hallelujah with me. That is a word. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I say one more time, thank you, God, for a mighty word. 44th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. And it says, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a Musa. We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. For you love them. And I can say without any doubt in my mind that God loves us too. He loves us. And, you know, the psalmist in the psalm says he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. So blessed to be loved by God. But in Psalm 43 and 3 it says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. One of the ways God draws us to himself is by leading us to worship him with his people. His word consistently encourages us to gather with other believers to hear his truth and to praise him together. Woo! I'm excited. I was at practice on Tuesday night at church where the men's ministry is going forth today, and I tell you something. Those men showed out at practice, and I already know with every part of my being, they are going to allow God to use them today. Whew, I cannot wait to get to church. I am excited about the house of God today because I know that the Lord is in his holy temple. I know that my daddy God is on the case, and he is going to work it out with the men's ministry today. So our kudos to the men of Table of Life, because I know that God has big plans for you today. Somebody's getting saved. I just feel it in my spirit. Please join me in Proverbs, the 13th Proverbs, verses 22 through 25. Proverbs 13, 22 to 25. And it says in our word, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. An unplowed field produces food for the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful. And note what it says, careful to discipline them. Because so many times you got folks that will read this scripture and think it's all right, and excuse my language, to beat the hell out of their children. That is not what God is saying, to be abusive to children. You know, there have been kids found in churches that have been beat so bad that they had to be hospitalized because the parent was listening to somebody say, don't spare the rod. Your child has a demon in them. Your child has this and that. No, our children need love. Yes, you can give a good spanking. Because sometimes the only time a child you get their attention is a spanking. And I know there are the non-spankers out, but I tell you one thing. I have never forgotten the one, and I mean one finger, spanking I got from my godfather, who was my dad in every respect, because he raised me. And he raised me to be a good person and to be a woman of God and to hold myself highly, to know that I am someone who deserves respect and love. But I only got one spanking from my father, and it was because I was disobedient and didn't do what I was told to do. And the reason I was told to do it was for my safety. And that was why I got the spanking. Disobedient, because I didn't do what I was supposed to do for my sake. And I tell you this, if he had spared the rod that night, if he had not spanked my behind that night, who's to say what I would have done? Because I got away with that. I might have tried to get away with other things. But I didn't get away with anything. And it changed the trajectory, I'm sure, of my life. Because I had had some disobedient moments in it from the time I was 7 until I was being about 10. So my dad did not play. He talked softly. But I understood after that one spanking, don't play. Your dad's kindness for granted. And don't take his kindness for weakness. Because he didn't play. And he was a protector of me and my mom and my godmother. He loved us. And he loved my mother as his daughter. You know, folks don't understand family does not have to be your blood. Family is the people that God puts in your life to love. I call my, because they are my family, and I love them as my sister. So you are here to say sis. And when I say sis, it is an endearment because I love you enough to call you sis because I feel like you're a part of my family. I'm not calling everybody sis. But if you get that, that means you're special and that you're a part of the family that God has given me my village. Come on now. And so I say, when we talk about children, we got to love them. And you do have to sometimes put a little rod on it. And I'm not saying beat your babies to death. I've only had to really spank my children once in their life. And it was my husband that pulled me off of them boys. But I tell you one thing, and I say move. They understand. They move even now as grown men. Don't play with that little lady. Because she can have a moment. You got to understand. You got to let your children know. Don't try to go too far. Because then you will see a moment. And I won't be sparing the rock. So don't get it twisted. I'm not talking abuse. Because if you're abusing your child, then the rod needs to be on you. Just throwing it out there. And as we finish up our proverb for this morning, and it says, the righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Because we all know it's time to go to work, and a man who will not work will not eat. You got to go to work. Because when you go to work, you work so you can eat. And if you choose not to work, then that is on you. That's on you. And let's get into our New Testament word. And all I can say is praise the Lord, family. Praise the Lord today. It's time to go to work. And we work for the Most High. We work for God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God who loves your children. I'm just grateful this morning, and I'm ready. I'm all up and ready to go to work today. I'm excited about going to work for God. I'm excited about being a child of God. I'm excited about this word this morning. I'm excited because God loves us more than we even think about, can even imagine loving ourselves. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High. We are blessed beyond measure to be loved by Him. We are blessed beyond measure to go to work for God. I'm changing the word again, and this time I am coming out of the Christian Standard Bible. This is a Bible with commentary by Dr. Tony Evans, and we will be reading the book of Luke, and we'll be in chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses from verse 18 to chapter 10. Verse 24. So let's get started in our New Testament word. Again, join me in Luke chapter 9 through chapter 10, verse 24. So we're starting at verse 18 in chapter 9. So get your Bible. And it says this, Peter's confession of the Messiah. And it says, while he was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? They answered him, John the Baptist, others Elijah, the others that one of the ancient prophets had come back. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Woo, hallelujah. But he strictly warned and tell this to no one, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, be killed, and be raised the third day. Take up your cross. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? And we know, what does it gain a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and that of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And this is a transfiguration. Every time I read this, I just get filled up. I get filled up. Because he shows the disciples, Peter, James, and John, who he really is. They see him in his true glory. And it's amazing. And it says this, about 8 days after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Jesus was a prayer warrior. Jesus was a prayer warrior. He prayed all the time. You have folks that get upset about having to go to prayer. Oh, I got to go to prayer. Oh, I got to pray. Ugh. Here we go. Let me just say this prayer song before I go to sleep, because God knows I'm tired, but I'm going to say my prayers, because ain't nobody going to say that I didn't say my prayers before I went to sleep, because, you know, I don't want to die my tears, so I'm going to say my prayers. Please. Prayers are special to God. You know, sometimes I find myself praying before I go to sleep, praying in my sleep, praying when I wake up, praying when I go back to sleep, just praying. Changes our life, and I'm believing God for some answered prayers. We got to get our mess in order so we can have our message. But that comes from prayer. And as the word says, and as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. And the two men who were standing with him, as the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us set up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he was saying. In the spirit, Peter realized who they were. He didn't think they were just angels standing with Jesus. He knew they were Moses and Elijah. And understand, Moses and Elijah had been around at least, 2,000 years almost before him. At least 15 to 1600 years before him. How would he know who they were? And that's why Jesus knows that Peter didn't know what he was saying, that it was a Holy Spirit moment on all of these men. When they saw the transfiguration, it was a Holy Spirit moment. They had no idea what they had seen. All they knew was that it was magnificent. And that let them know they were following the Savior. And it says, while he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept told no one what they had seen. Peter, James, John knew exactly who he was, knew exactly why he had come, knew exactly that he was the Son of God. And as we continue, the power of Jesus over demons. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd cried out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he is my only child. A spirit seizes him. Suddenly, he shrieks, and it throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth, severely brushing him. It scarcely ever leaves him. It scarcely ever leaves him. And we know that could be epilepsy in that time. And it says, I begged the disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. Jesus replied, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. As the boy was still approaching, the demon knocked him down and threw him into severe convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all astonished at the greatness of God. Whew. But we also know in Matthew and Mark, it says that Jesus tells his disciples the reason that they could not get rid of this spirit is because some spirits only leave because of fasting, and that the only way you can get rid of some demons is through fasting and prayer. You got to fast and you got to pray to get rid of some stuff, because you don't know where you got rid of one, seven may have come back. And that's why you have more going on than you had before. It's like, Lord, I thought I was saved from this. And now it's worse than it was, because seven came back. And you're going to have to do some fasting and some praying to get rid of the clutter and the mess that those seven have brought into your life. You got to speak to God and speak to him. You got to go. And you cannot come back. And you got to oil up your house, oil up yourself. And I'm talking your house, I'm meaning your spiritual house, which is you. You got to oil up. You got to oil up your head. You got to oil up your forehead. You got to oil up your feet. You got to oil up, because you're getting ready to go to battle. You got to fast. You got to pray. And you got to oil up, because you got to go into the ring against some spirits. And you got to fight. We got to fight those devils just like we used to fight in the playground. Because you understand that the only reason you won was because the Lord fought for you against that bully. And spirits can be bullies too. We got to pray and keep trusting God. And it goes on to say the second prediction of his death. Jesus is getting his disciples prepared. He's trying to get them prepared for his death. You know, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to know. You know how we can be sometimes. I don't want to know. You go that na 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 na. I can hear you say. But he's trying to get them prepared. Just as we get prepared, we are being prepared now for his coming back. They were getting prepared for his leaving. And it says, while everyone was amazed at all the things he was doing, he told his disciples, "Let these words sink in. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement. It was concealed from them so that they could not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it. Who is the greatest? An argument started among them about who was the greatest of them. But Jesus, knowing their inner thoughts, took a little child and had him stand next to him. He told them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. For whoever is least among you, one is great." Hallelujah. To my children that might be listening, you are great. You are great in the sight of God. If we can have little child spirit to be open and ready to receive the love and the grace that can only come from Jesus Christ, everything else falls into place in our spiritual being and in our life. In his name, John responded, "Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't stop him." Jesus told him, "Because whoever is not against you is for you." Hallelujah. Whoever is not against you is for you. And if they casting out in my name, then so be it. But understand, remember this, the sons of Stephen. Those boys thought they could cast out in the name of Jesus when they didn't know Jesus and they didn't feel Jesus and they didn't want it. They thought they was these Jewish. They thought they was, I'm educated, I'm doctor this, I'm that, I'm theologian this and that. They thought they was all of that. They went up against that one demon that looked at him and said, "Paul, I know. Jesus, we know. I know. But you, I don't know." And beat them boys down so bad, took their clothes, that all they could do was run out naked as jaybirds and beat down. Because they came up against something they didn't understand, and they didn't have that Jesus faith to fight. Come on now. We can cast out in his name, but you got to have faith that whatever it is you're casting out and you rebuke it and bind it, that it is done in Jesus' name, not in our power, not in our might, but in His. The journey to Jerusalem, when the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of himself, and on the way they entered a village of the Samaritans. And to make preparation for him. But they did not welcome him because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw that, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village, following Jesus. As they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus told them, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." "Lord," he said, "first let me go bury my father." But he told him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I say today, family, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for the Lord God. We work for God. And our word for this morning is this: sending out the 72. And when we say it's time to go to work, this is the word it came from. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs of to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is abundant." And we know it says plentiful as well. The harvest is abundant, for the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he says, "Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And we know the harvest is the unsaved. We got work to do. We got to take Jesus everywhere we go. We got to evangelize. We got to prophesy. We got to preach the gospel. Let people know who you are and who you work for. You work for the Most High God. You got a job. And he's going to take you and pay you more than you could ever ask for, because your payment is eternal life. It says, "Now go, I'm sending you out like lamb among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Wherever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't move from house to house. When you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'We are wiping off even the dust of your town that clings to our feet as a witness against you.' Know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." You better understand sending workers into the field. Are you accepting them? Are you one of them? Are you ready to go to work? On repentant ground, woe to you, Chorazin. Who owe to you, Bethsaida? For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tel Tadon, they would have repented long ago bedding in sackcloth and dust and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for them to die at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. The return of the 72. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Y'all catch that? In your name. Not in anybody's name, but the name of Jesus. He said to them, I watch Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me? I went to work and my name is written in heaven. They went to work. The 72 went to work. They went to work in the harvest and their names are written in heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what we want. Our names written in heaven. We want to be in that number. Hallelujah. We want to be in that number. Thank God every day that he loves you like that. And our last word for this morning from our Luke chapter 10, we will be ending at verse 24. And it says this, the Son reveals the Father. At the time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been trusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Then turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. But I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them. Hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. Whew. What a word this morning. There's a word from Dr. Evans, Dr. Tony Evans, that I just want to share with you. The kingdom living personal. Do what you know now. And it says, God never tells us everything he's going to do or what he wants you to do all at once. He doesn't lay out the full plan step by step so that you know what to expect. If he did, there would be no need for faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please it. Hebrews 11 and 6. But God has told you something. Whatever he has instructed you to do in the circumstances you are in or in challenges you are facing, obey, however small, however insignificant it may seem, obey. However large, ever daring it may seem, obey. Do what you know to do, even if you don't know what end it's producing. You can start with the simplest of all commandments to remember, though it's the most difficult to live out. I say it's simple to remember because it basically boils down to one word, love. I say it's difficult to live out because this one word contains the essence of all the other commandments we've ever been given. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, and Galatians 5:14. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27. Start there and you are on your way to living out your best life as a kingdom disciple, despite the ups, the downs, and the gains you may be facing. And we'll be getting, that'll be our word for tomorrow. Love. Love is key to everything we do. Love is key to going to work, because you know you're not working for yourself. You're working for God. And a worker for God gets paid everlasting life. Hallelujah. Pray for everlasting life. Tell God, you Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for loving me even more than I love myself. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who is great and greatly to be praised. We got to praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's time to go to work. Hallelujah. And I have a couple of prayers this morning. And then we have a word from our sister in Christ. And the word for yesterday is this: wise enough. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. All-knowing one, I know that you have all the answers that I'm looking for. God of wisdom, you give guidance. Your advice isn't cheap. You don't give fast answers that don't actually help. Your word is full of wisdom. May I have an open heart to hear what you would say, especially when it costs me something. Jesus, when I look at your life that you lived in wisdom, it doesn't look like what I know to be smart choices. However, the world's wisdom isn't the same as yours. I trust that your ways are better. Your example is more fruitful than logic. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and I will follow you. There is no one more qualified to weigh in on my life than you who created it. Even so, may I receive your wisdom when I recognize it in the counsel of those around me. Speak, Lord. I am listening. And I say today, family, it's time to go to work. And it's the question that I ask from this prayer. What area do you need God's wisdom for right now? Think about what you need from the Lord. And for today, willing submission, obey your leaders and act under their authority. This is a Sunday word. They are watching over you because they are responsible for your soul. Obey them so that they will do this work with joy, not sadness. It will not help you to make the work hard. Hebrews 13:17 NCV. Great God, fill me anew today with the fresh wind of your grace. Blow away all the dust of days before. You speak and my heart takes courage. I intentionally lay my heart open before you. Fill me with the knowledge of your goodness and great care. Draw me near to you that I may take courage in being found in you. Help me to serve the leaders in my life with a humble heart, submitting to them even when I disagree with their decisions. Give me grace to remember that when I lead, I do the best I can, and my leaders are doing the same. I willingly submit myself not only to your leadership, to theirs as well, knowing nothing goes unseen by you. Everything done in love is not wasted, and I choose love over my own preferences. Thank you for your grace that covers me. And a question for today is this: who can you submit to rather than fight against today? And I read the scripture one more time. And we are going to Hebrews again, chapter 13, verse 17. And again, this word says, obey your leaders and act under their authority. They are watching over you because they are responsible for your souls. Obey them so that they will do this work with joy, not sadness. It will not help you to make so. You go to work for God. Understand that your leaders also go to work for God. They have a lot of responsibilities to the congregation that God has entrusted them with. Don't give your leaders a hard time. Be there to stand with them and work with them and not work against them. And this is a word that comes out of the Christian standard. You can have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. As those who must give an account, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, but that would be of no benefit to you. Thank you so much, family. We have a couple of words from our sister in Christ this morning. And lines are open if there's a word that God is giving you this morning about going to work. Woo, hallelujah. I know I'm ready to work for God this morning. And it says this, good morning. Prayer keeps you aware of the loving arms and will lead you to a path for victory. Have a safe in God Sunday. Oh, thank you, Lord. But let's go back to yesterday. Again, a word that just saturates and fits with today. And it says, when you spend more time in God's word, you will gain more strength to handle any problem or situation. Have a word-searching Saturday. I did, and I have, and I thank God for it. So I say today, have a word-searching Sunday, and know that you are safe in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, family. Thank you for listening, my sisters and my brothers, because you are all adopted. You are all my family, and I thank God for each and every one of you. Bonjour to my French brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening in. Thank you all for just joining us today. I am grateful. I am thankful. I am blessed to be able to go to work with all of you. You are the best co-workers anybody could ever ask for. So let's get ready, y'all. We got a lot of work to do. It's time to go to work. Thank you so much for listening in. If there's anyone that God has put a word in your heart, now is the time to push that number one on your phone. And for those who listen in on social media, our phone number is 213-943-3597. And you can call in on that number 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. If I don't always post on social media the link, but always you can call in on that number. And again, it's 213-943-3597 if you would like to be a call-in listener. Our same show, just called in instead of on social media. So I thank you all. I pray a blessing of Abraham over you all. And as we pray, Father God, I thank you today. And I pray, Lord God, watch between me and all those listening while we are separated from one another. Lord God, I ask you to keep them safe from our hurt, from our harm, for our days. Let your angels of grace and mercy, understanding, and protection surround them as they go into the north, the left, the east, and the west. The north, the south, the east, and the west, let our angel go before them. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, watch over all of our children as they prepare for Easter Sunday and next week, and they get their cute new clothes, Lord God. Let them remember it's not about Easter Bunny. Our little colored eggs, our jelly beans, it's all about you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word, thanking you, Father, for allowing me to be one of your willing workers, working in the harvest and in the vineyard. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up each and every person listening live or listening later, asking you, Lord God, to watch over them, to bless them, and to help them and guide them, and that they will find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, that they will have more time with you on this day that you have made. Father, we are rejoicing in it and saying thank you for being the best employer we could ever have. For we are ready to be willing workers. For we know, Lord, it is time to go to work for you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please keep me prayed up, family. The voice is trying to go again, but I know. My daddy God is in charge, and the enemy cannot touch what God has anointed. And I thank him for the anointing of my voice. I thank him for the anointing of my praise. I was born to worship, and I thank God for his love. And I thank God for each and every one of you family. Be blessed and have a wonderful and blessed day in the Lord. It is a wrap. Why? Because it's time for us to go to work. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.